Well, thanks for being here. I'm so excited to finally be able to talk to you today, Rachel. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what's your background?
Okay. Thanks, Jamie. I really appreciate being on today. So I am a mill spouse, I guess. I'm actually a 9-year Navy veteran as well. And currently we are in Connecticut. So right by Groton. I currently work full-time as an engineering supervisor at the local nuclear power plant here, because once you go nuke, you never go back to anything else. And my husband's currently geobatched the other side. He's actually out of Washington State. So, you know, just, you know, chasing the two kids around in the afternoons and during the day, make sure lights stay on in Connecticut.
Yep. So that's how you and I met. And we actually were able to meet in person. Our husbands were stationed at the same command on the same boat. And what I thought was amazing was, I think about that time, I think when I met you was when I was trying to get back into the work thing after not being in at work for so long. And it was just getting out of grad school there and all that. So it was really good for me to meet you and see how you were able to be doing your career and raising two small kids like I am. And, you know, and then at the same time, doing what you're doing with your spouse being across the country from you. That's certainly been our situation a lot of times too. So, and one of the more interesting things, aside from you being an interesting person, is that you use an au pair. And I know that a lot of military spouses find it difficult to go back to work because they don't have access to good childcare or don't really know what their childcare options could be and are. And I thought that was so interesting with you. So I wondered if you could tell us more today about what an au pair is and how you came to even using an au pair in the first place.
Okay. Yeah, sure, Jamie. Well, so you kind of have to go back to the beginning. You know, we got those orders that coming out of, you know, sub school, it changed 4 times in like a week, mm-hmm. as I'm sure a lot of people understand. And then they finally solidified on Washington. And I had already started my job full time as the engineering supervisor, which was kind of a very easy step for me to go from, you know, being in the military officer, Navy nuke, going straight to kind of a civilian supervisor. Mm-hmm. It's still a bit of a cultural change. Mm-hmm. So I'm still working on that part. but so when we realized that we were to end up geobatching for his CTOR, we were really started looking at all the options. Mm-hmm. And we actually had a neighbor who had an au pair, and we thought that was very interesting. We did look at like a nanny, mm-hmm. full-time nanny. But the more we researched into like the au pair program, really what it stands for and the opportunities, and some taxes came into that as well, mm-hmm. you know, but we really decided to go with the au pair program. I currently use, there's a bunch of different agencies that oversee the au pair program. It's actually a State Department program. So there's like a couple of big agencies. I use one of the larger ones called Au Pair in America. And, you know, the first thing that people really don't understand, I think, about au pairs is that they're actually cultural exchange students. Mm-hmm. They're underneath a J-1 visa. I believe that's correct. And so their whole point is to really kind of engage in that American culture at the family level and see, kind of experience different foods and lifestyles and kind of like your family traditions and the holidays that, you know, are kind of unique to America and all flavors of America. But at the same time, they're required to get 6 hours of college education done during their year here. So it's kind of a very interesting program, and it really brings in, you know, you welcome in this, you know, young person into your house, and and I've had the luck to have them become part of my family, and then you've got, you know, like an aunt taking care of your kids, and you're not leaving them with the 14th babysitter this week, or, you know, they're not less likely to go to college and move away. So the babysitter you used for 2 years is now gone, you know? So it really seemed to be the best to have that flexibility for us to have that live in person. Cause since I am alone, so it made a lot of sense to us because, you know, God forbid if anything happens, I have somebody here. I'm not alone trying to, yeah, cause we don't have any family in Connecticut. So this way, you know, what was it? A good example would be like, two Christmases ago, one of my children, became very sick. Mm-hmm. And so I had to take them to the hospital at Christmas, but the other one got to stay and play with their Christmas toys because I had somebody else here.
Right.
I know it wasn't me, you know, driving in the snow, trying to handle both kids at the hospital.
Yeah.
So
that's a big deal. Au pair is kind of like a exchange student. It's a cultural exchange student, sort of, in the sense that they're required to have 6 hours of college education while they have their year here. And so what's the difference? So the expectation is not necessarily that they take care of your children, though, right, as part of that program.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a work study, like in college sometimes. So it's, they are a cultural exchange students. They do focus on, you know, the 6 hours of education, but then they're also focusing on that cultural, and that's part of that cultural experience is how we raise children. So that's where the child care comes into place. And then there's, you know, a lot of different guidelines put forth by the State Department and the governing agencies. So that helps kind of tailor mm-hmm. everything.
So at times, have you had both an au pair and other child care, like a nanny or other child care services that you use while you have an au pair?
Yes. So that's a great question. So au pairs are by regulation limited to 45 hours a week, no more than 10 hours a day. And there's a, you know, a couple other things, you know, they're guaranteed a half day off a week and a full day off a week. So right there, you know, most people, a full-time job is 40 hours. So 45 hours a week, you're barely squeaking by. So I actually use the Child Development Center here in Connecticut as well, just to allow me to have more time where I have somebody who can watch the kids so I can mow the lawn. You know, those types of afternoon activities, since my kids are so small, I need, you know, more concentrated oversight since they're still toddlers. So I can't leave them with the movie and go outside. So that, you know, having the using daycare allows me to kind of put her hours. Just to share the story with you guys. So I work full time as an engineering supervisor. So my day starts very early, around 5 a.m. So my nanny, my au pair, she covers like that morning shift until daycare opens. Like she gets them there around 8. And then depending on if I have like an emergent meeting or something, you know, something happens that I need to be there for the, you know, the power plant, you know, I could text her and say, hey, can you pick up the kids today? Cause she's clear to do pickup. And then she'll help me, you know, she'll help chop vegetables, you know, help me kind of sous chef with dinner. You know, both of us answer. She's that second set of hands, you know, so she'll, you know, when the kids will start crying, we'll like kind of do the, all right, you went last time, I'll go this time. Like, and, you know, or you keep storing that, I'm going to go do this. And then, you know, we'll kind of divide and conquer with like bedtimes and like somebody's brushing the teeth, someone's getting one kid in the shower. So it's kind of like a really good work balance. And then on the weekends, it's kind of a, you know, we just went to a Renaissance fair. So she had one kid that wanted to go that direction. I had the other kid who wanted to go the other direction. So it really gives that flexibility. And then for me, every so often I have to work Sundays for like a period of time. So that's where the au pair would come in. I have somebody who I can schedule to work 10 hours that day and kind of cover most of my day. But I usually get a babysitter as well to like break that up, because that can be a pretty long shift. So yeah, I use a multiple services, but for the most part, I use the au pair program. It really works for us and our family.
So what are the costs associated with au pair, or how does that part of the program work?
So I mean, it's pretty much set by the minimum costs are set by the State Department because they factor in you provide a room and 21 meals a day. It's like a meal plan, right? You do the 3 meals 7 days a week, it's like adopting a college kid, so to speak. They're gonna have a place to crash and all the food they want. Like within reason. We're not talking like filet mignon every night. Like they eat what you eat. For the most part, my first au pair was a vegetarian, and that was a broadening of my horizons because I'm not exactly the world's most friendly vegetable eater. So it was good though, because at the end of that year, I ate, I think, one more vegetable than I did when I started. So it's th those are the hidden fun parts of having an au pair. They really teach you both ways. It's a two-way
It's an
street.
exchange, exactly.
So back to the cost question. They get a weekly stipend, and we just round it because it's like some weird number. It's like 194.27. It's like a really very specific number, but we just round it up. You're always willing to pay more. It's usually up to you to work that out with a au pair. If I know a family that has like five kids, so they pay their au pairs a little bit more every week. We round it to an even number because that way I don't have to do hard math. But then there's a program fee right when you start. Well, actually, no, sorry, back that up. There's a matching fee, but match fees are waived for military families. Or, sorry, I said that incorrectly. I'm sorry. The match fee, your first match fee is not waived. If you go back into the program, like I currently am on my third au pair. So every year since I re-go back into the program, my match fee is waived. And the match fee is like $425. But all military families get a $500 discount off the program. And then there's a program fee. And then this is where it gets confusing. There's three different types of au pairs, like classifications. So there's like the au pair program. And then they have something called extraordinaire, which is somebody who has like 200 hours plus of documented like developmental education. So somebody who's like a nurse or somebody who's gotten like halfway through an associate's in teaching or something, those fall underneath the extraordinaire and they're paid a little bit more. And then there's a program called EduCare where it's really that's kind of a unique program. It's not available in this area, but what it is EduCare, it's only 35 hours a week of childcare, and they have to do 12 credits of education, but they get paid less, and their stipend, the program fee is also less. So it's a sliding scale. And then let's see, I'm trying to think of the other costs. The program fee is about $8,000, so it's a big chunk. It's a big chunk. But if you, depending on where you live, and you do all the math, and I still have one more fee actually to mention, it can come, it comes out to way less than a nanny would cost, especially if you are concerned with paying the nanny tax, like ensuring that you're paying the social, and the FICA, which everyone should. Paying the employer taxes for a nanny can really move up the cost per hour. And since the au pair program is really kind of a standalone program, and all those taxes and everything are kind of built into the program, it's a lot lower. It's close. It's close. We're talking, it's been a couple of years since I did the math, but it's a couple, it's a couple thousand at least, depending. And it's also where you live. So if you lived in Manhattan, it might be a little bit more expensive, both sides of the fence. So the match fee is the first one. And then every year that you stay with the same agency, you get that waived. It's like a rematch. So like, you're rematching. Congratulations. We'll waive it for you. The military discount is just, you know, $500 off the program.
Okay, got it. And then the program fee is every year around $8,000. Then you have a stipend that you pay to your au pair every week. You provide housing. You provide 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. Was that pretty much it?
Pretty much. We're the parents are required to kind of chip in towards the education. So we have to pay, it's like $500 towards the educational costs. Mm-hmm. So if they decide to go to the community college and it's a lot more than that, you just pay that chunk. Okay. There are some very specific tailored programs, like ones through like UCLA, where it's a college class designed for au pairs, and that kind of is capped at 500. So you're kind of paid there. And then there's other things that can come in, you know, car insurance. You know, we have an extra car literally for the au pair. Like, so that's a kind of a hidden cost. But, you know, if you're using an au pair in a city, you probably don't need to worry about that. Mm-hmm. You know, since driving for my au pair is pretty much one of the main parts of their jobs, you know, we wanted to get a safe car. So there's another expense we wouldn't have if my husband was home, but
yeah. Yeah. And then what about like screening your au pair for safety? Does the State Department do those kind of things, or do they kind of pre-qualify au pairs before they're allowed to come in and do this program? And
so the way, and this is all as I see it and understand it. So the au pair agencies, so the, like, you know, Au Pair in America, which is the one I use. And then there's like Cultural Care and a couple other ones. They do all the screening. So kind of walk you through the process. If you, you know, apply, like sign up on like Au Pair in America, kind of share what I did. You know, you sign up, you fill out all the documents. They do a slight background check on you. Obviously, they're not going to place somebody with you if you don't meet their requirements. But then it's I kind of talk about it like internet dating. You get pictures and little videos and
swipe left.
That not that bad, but like, you know, you get to see they have they all write an essay, and then they have to provide like 3 job references, because it's in some ways it's like half a getting to know you and half a job application. So
sure,
that's the dichotomy with having an au pair. You are both a host parent and kind of an employer at the same time.
Okay.
So, because it's up to you to set the standards of how you want them to talk to your kids, which rules, you know, what's okay in your house, you know, where all the forks go and the pans go, you know, things like that. So, but yeah, so all the au pairs are really looked at by the sponsoring agencies, which are the ones that you sign up with. The host families are the placement families. We don't actually control the visas. That's all done through the placement agencies.
And then, so if someone were interested in looking into an au pair, what's the time frame that you have to start the process?
So I think it can be done as quickly as you're willing to do it. Obviously it takes an hour or so to fill out the paperwork, but then you have to, like, you know, you write your family essay, and if you're anything like that, like me, that takes a while. you know, and there's other things, like you have to, you know, proof of military, you have to kind of fill in all the, like, I work here. Like, it's like all those doctor forms all over again. And then, you know, it's really the match process. That's, I think that's the longest leg. You'll see when you get in there, the au pairs will say, I'm available to come, you know, day A to day B. It's like arrival frame. So you have to find the ones that can come when you need them. I would say at least a month would be something that somebody would want to really plan for, because you're going to want to give yourself time to kind of read through a bunch of profiles. And then it's a requirement to at least talk Skype once before you can match. You can't be like, I'm going to match with you on paper. You have to actually say hello. I usually do between 2 and 3 kind of little Skype sessions where I ask them questions like, how would you handle it if the kids started, you know, fighting? Mm-hmm. How would you handle it if the kid said something mean? You know, tell me about your driving experience, because I care a lot about driving. So it's definitely something that, you know, you need to tailor the questions in those Skype to what you're looking for from a family, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for an au pair who's independent, because I work full time and then I come home and chase 2 toddlers. You know, like I'm not going to sit here and plan your social calendar for you. You need to do that. So that's something that I always ask. Like, are you, you know, I'm trying to looking for somebody who's going to go out and explore the world. But then I also need somebody who's, you know, willing to be flexible, because, you know, as we know with the military and, you know, with working full time, sometimes work stuff can come up, kids get sick. You need somebody who can kind of jump in the ship and help, you know, bail it out and help steer it the right direction. So, so then after you do those 2 or 3 interviews, you both agree to match, and then you have to sign the match paperwork saying, I agree to match with this person. Mm-hmm. And then it's just kind of a waiting game. They have to get their visa, and then they have to get the flight and come over here. They do a 2-day orientation. Au Pair in America does a 2-day orientation. So they fly in Monday, like early, and then they spend 2 days in like first aid classes and different classes. And you can, there's like options to buy like driving classes by AAA if you want. Mm-hmm. So there's different things. And then you have to arrange pickup, or you go pick them up on that third day. And then they, you know, move in. They all have community counselors. So all the sponsoring agencies have community counselors. So you will be required to do like a pre-check-in with one of those ladies or gentlemen. I believe my community counselor is a woman. So, well, they'll come check to make sure that, you know, you have a decent room, you know, mm-hmm. like by building code. Yeah. And then, and that, you know, if you have any questions, they'll usually come in, and they're a good resource, you know, because they know the community and they've been working with au pairs for a long time. So they all know, and, you know, I usually, they check in with you once a month, and then they do little get togethers for all the au pairs too. So.
Mm-hmm. What are some things for your family that have been, I mean, you mentioned a couple things, you know, the fact that we kind of have these schedules that aren't always set, or maybe have one-off days where we've got to work. So the benefit of having an au pair is really just kind of like having, you know, an extra set of hands at home. So if those things come up, you do have the ability to have someone that can help, with the kids. But what are some other benefits that you think for that have been true for your family, having an au pair versus maybe just having a nanny or having a babysitter?
So it's a lot of the intangibles, Jamie, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's the having someone to, like another adult to eat dinner with every night.
Sure.
Unless she's out with her friends, but that's, mm-hmm. you know, more nights than not, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of learning another culture too, like, cause it's a 2-way street. It's not a 1-way exchange. It's 2-way street. Like I didn't know how many American idioms I spoke in until like 2 years ago when I once said, well, you just got to drive that bus. And they're like, what bus and why am I driving? And I was like, whoa, I guess That's that doesn't awesome. Translate. So it's kind of learning those things, a generation gap sometimes too. So my au pairs are about 18. So that's, you know, a little bit younger than I am. And so it's very interesting to be like, oh, this is a great show, movie. Oh yeah. Weren't born in the 90s. Never mind. I take that back. So it's definitely that humbling experience of like, oh yeah. Doesn't change. It's still good. Green Day is still a good song. Don't need to talk about that. Your dad likes that one too. So that's cool. So it keeps you real in that sense. Yeah. I know for my husband, it's a relief for him. I mean, we chose to geobatch mm-hmm. for, you know, innumerable reasons. But one of the biggest things was family stress. He serves as the engineer. And as we all know, those can be long hours. And mm-hmm. He knows that I'm here. I've got somebody who could take care of the kids if anything happens. Mm-hmm. He also knows that, you know, I'm not alone. in the house. So it just helps him kind of be like, they're taken care of. So I think for him, it's that kind of intangible stress relief. For me, it's knowing that I have somebody I can trust with my kids so I can focus on, you know, all the other parts of my life for my husband too. Like, in the partnership that we have, you know, I work full time. So when I go to work, I can focus. I can be in my morning meetings knowing that I have somebody who will take care of the kids and make sure they get dressed and drive them safely to school. And then, you know, also somebody that if they like, I don't know, run out of clothes at school or need more wipes, I could be like, hey, could you swing by here? Mm-hmm. And I don't have to spend the 2 hours of leaving work to go back to work to drive home, mm-hmm. you know? So those are there, you know, watching new TV shows, you know, it's kind of that cultural exchange, you know? So it's differently interesting, you know, I'm going to convert mm-hmm. everyone to loving peanut butter one affair at a time, you know? So it's just, you know, it's kind of that, it's kind of hard to put it into words. I think compared to a babysitter or a nanny, it's somebody who's becomes, and not that, you know, babysitters and nannies can't become part of the family, but it's kind of like a...
Maybe those relationships tend to be more transactional.
Yes, I think. Exactly. Kind of, you know, I still, I'm on my third au pair contract and, you know, I still text my first au pair. She's actually going to bring her new boyfriend to come visit, so that will be fun, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll still do little Skype videos with her and the kids so she can see the kids as they grow. So it's definitely expanding your family. And then it's just, you know, when you deal with the stress of military lifestyles, the kind of unknowns, the the deployments, the what am I going to do, how am I going to handle this all by myself, I have all these things I need to take care of, you know, having somebody there who could pick up part of that mental load and like hold it for you for a little while, both literally and figuratively, it's a huge relief. I actually cut my hand really badly. I had to go, you know, drive myself to the hospital, but I knew I had somebody. My kids actually went and got the au pair, and was like, we're going to go get aunt. And I was like, all right, go get her. I'm not moving for a minute. It's also kind of a balancing game a little bit. I could hire somebody to, you know, cut my lawn, clean my house, cook my food, deliver my groceries. I could do all those little nickel and dime bleeding things, but that's kind of empty. You know, I love mowing my lawn. Most days I try to convince myself of that, but I do, and I like the fact that my children see me out there mowing the lawn, and it's not, you know, only something dad does. But it also means that I have somebody who can watch them and, you know, help draw on the chalk while they watch me, you know. So it's kind of more of a, you know, instead of, like you said, you kind of hit it right on the head. Instead of transactional relationships, you know, you're just building one, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, with their family too. I always, since... You know, it's different for me in my early 30s to have all of a sudden an 18, 19-year-old daughter for the for the year. It's kind of like, oh, God, I don't want to really think of that part of my life again. But, you know, I always try to reach out to their parents. You know, I try to put myself in their parents' shoes of they're entrusting me with their child. And I want them to know us, too. You know, my first au pair, her whole family came to visit. Right now we're making plans for my current au pair's whole family to come to that celebrate Thanksgiving with me. So no pressure,
nice.
No pressure, but it'll be good. It'll be fun. Cause that's that cultural exchange. What's this Thanksgiving thing? I was like, well, they got to spend the night cause the Macy's Day Parade starts at 9 and they cannot get here quick enough. They're going to miss it. So, you know, it'll be fun.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, it's definitely the expanding of your family and like what a great opportunity that is for your kids. Yes, but definitely for you, because I certainly relate to kind of that, you know, when you're the only adult in the house trying to hold everything down, it is nice sometimes to just have another grown up.
I think it's also a good growth experience for a lot of the au pairs too. Because since I am the only adult and the only parent, but I still reach to my au pairs to be like, does this rash look okay? Like, should we let them sleep longer? So I really bring them into that parenting. So there's a lot of responsibility I hand to my au pairs. And I think that's, as we all can attest with our first jobs and going to college, that's a learning experience all by itself, you know. They are entitled to 2 weeks of vacation. So, you know, it's definitely something that, like, you know, try to help the au pairs be like, go see this part of America. Like, you got to go here. You should go this place. You know, don't go there, you know. You know, so it's a lot of fun. My current au pair, I think, is we've managed to map out 24 states for her to visit. So she's doing good. She's going to beat me, Sarah, here soon.
That's great. Well, and I think it's cool for military families to utilize au pairs too, because then they can kind of see what our lifestyle is like, which is a little bit different than I think the average American might know anything about. So it's I think that's an interesting part of discovery on their part too.
No, they can also move with you and your family.
Yeah.
So you know, if you're, you know, 2 months or 3 months or 6 months away from like a PCS change, that shouldn't daunt somebody from, you know, getting the au pair there. Since, like you said, you and I met, and as I'm still in Connecticut and we met in Washington, you actually met one of my au pairs because I would always travel with my au pairs, which is like invaluable, having another adult with babies,
oh my gosh.
Or even bigger kids, you know, somebody else to just kind of hold the fort down so you can, you know, use the facilities alone. It truly is a great benefit. I'm very lucky to be able to take up a part of it, you know. It's definitely allows me to maintain that balance that can so be so out of our, well, can always seem to be out of our reach, you know, as, you know, when we're in the military proper, or when we're, you know, spouses and dealing with the different flavor of stress, and, you know, being able to find that balance of, okay, I'm going to go to yoga. You're going to drive the kids to school. Mm-hmm. Like I need to take this sanity break for an hour. Like, I know you got this. It'll be fine. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, I think I've learned a ton about au pair. I mean, I did not know any of that for the most part. So I appreciate you taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's something that people also get a little confused with, Jamie, really quickly before you wrap it up, is it's not just a babysitter. You know, they're allowed to help as long as it's related to the child and child caring. So one of the biggest stress reliefs for me is I teach them how to do laundry. So I know that I could go through the week and be like, my kids are being watched, they're being driven, and they're got clean clothes. That is just off of me. And then I can focus on everything else that needs to keep the house running, and, you know, feeding it back. So it's, you know, it's also, you know, somebody I can be like, hey, we're out of milk. Can you go get that while I do these 13 other things? So, you know, it's that teamwork aspect that comes into it. It's not just, you know, a babysitter who's here to just to do kid stuff, you know, like here to help. So it's kind of more than that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I know you have a lot of different resources, and I'm probably going to ask you to share those with me so I can put them on the show notes for this episode.
Oh, definitely.
But are there any particular resources that you want to share? I know that you go in your community and talk about this to other spouses or people who are interested in the au pair program. Are there any resources off the top of your head that you think people could look to to get more information?
Yeah. So when we started this program, I went to the State Department website and found the laws that govern au pair, you know, au pairs, printed off like the 14 pages and read all of that. So, you know, and pretty much those laws that the State Department uses are what all the sponsored agencies use for their program documents. You could always go to the State Department, and then you could always go, you know, type in, you know, au pair, you know, like if you go to Au Pair in America's website, they have, you know, the whole bunch of questions like, you know, what is an au pair, you know, resources, you know, the different, they walk you through the process. And then there's always a, you know, want to call here. So there's, you know, there's always those types of resources as well. And then, you know, this is a good example of one too, you know, always reaching out to people who have au pairs, you know, could give you their impressions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting how many people, I think after I met you, it's interesting how many other people I've met, or I was just attentive to the fact that oh, they are using an au pair and how did that work? So I think that's definitely a good option for people in our particular life situations. So
yeah, and I love that. I think it also helps too. It can help in a lot of different life situations, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Rachel. I appreciate your time and all your knowledge. I think it's going to help a lot of people because really, like, that's just, it's a lot of really good detail. You provided a lot of really good details and a good background and a really nice personal sort of experience and stories to go along with it. So I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you having me, Jamie. You know, I'm always here to answer more questions, here to help.
Thanks, Rachel.
All right. Thanks, Jamie.
So a little honesty, I don't normally listen through my own podcasts after editing, but this episode is one I could listen to over and over again. Such great information. Thank you, Rachel, for your insights. You can learn more about the program Rachel mentioned, Au Pair in America, at their website, aupairinamerica.com, and tell them Rachel referred you. I will have that URL and other resources in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. If you have any questions, please feel free to mention me on Twitter at UNBpodcast. Download the Flick Chat for Podcasts app and join the So Unbecoming community, or like the So Unbecoming with Jamie Muscoff page on Facebook. You can learn more about me and the show at sounbecoming.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening. You, my friend, are why I do this show, and I hope you join me next Tuesday for another episode of So Unbecoming. Bye for now. Hello, happy December, and welcome to episode 20 of So Unbecoming. I'm Jamie Muscoff. I hope you all had an outstanding and safe holiday weekend. Thanks again to those of you holding it down at home while your loved ones stand the watch. We appreciate you all. I am so excited to share the conversation I have to share today with my friend, engineering site supervisor, Rachel D'Ambra. Not only is she a kick-butt career woman, a 9-year Navy veteran, mom of two, and a Navy spouse, but she's here to share her tremendous knowledge of the au pair program. As we know, childcare can be the biggest barrier to returning to work for many military spouses, and I'm so thankful that Rachel was willing to share her extensive knowledge of how using the au pair program works. It was very educational for me. I hope you get ready to take some notes, get that pen and notebook out, and let's listen in on my conversation with engineering site supervisor, Rachel D'Ambra.